The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Today I'd like to talk to you about something precious and special. Cupbearers. I have a cup here. A cupbearer, one who has the duty of filling and handling around the cups in which wine is served. The Hebrew word for cupbearer is mash, K-E-H. This literally means causing to drink. A cupbearer's role also included servicing other drinks and refreshments, especially during big banquets and feasts. The Queen of Sheba visits Solomon in 1 Kings 10. If you'll turn to 1 Kings 10. See, in the Old Testament times, the Egyptians and Assyrian and the Persian kingdoms, among others, and like Solomon's times, they had cupbearers. In 1 Kings 10, verse 4, it says, "When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed." Reading out of the New International Version. Cupbearers are important in the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles 9, 1 through 4, it says almost the same exact words as 1 Kings 10, 1 through 5. The chief cupbearer can also be the chief butler, one and the same, and you can read this in Genesis chapter 40 and Genesis chapter 41. The chief cupbearer guards the king against constant fears and plots to kill the king by poisoning. Poisoning a king's drink was a common way of disposing of leaders in ancient times. The chief cupbearer to the king was considered a trusted, faithful, loyal associate for the king's life. The chief cupbearer to the king was responsible for tasting the king's food, tasting the king's drinks before the king was served. This was also performed by the chief cupbearer. That was his duty. Jesus Christ is our chief cupbearer of the New Testament church. Jesus Christ has already tasted and tested all the spiritual drink and the spiritual food of the new covenant for us. Jesus Christ was also the spiritual rock of the Old Testament. The Israelites, the spiritual food and the spiritual drink of Old Testament times. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 10, we'll read about this. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." These evil things became our examples of what not to do in the New Testament Church of God. See, we are to love God, to obey God and worship God, and not be led away from God by people drinking from a different cup. Continue in verse 14. See, someone was always trying to poison people's minds in the Old Testament, weren't they? They were always trying to turn God's people away from the one true God. In verse 14, it's talking about idolatry. "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say." Verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ? Question mark. The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." Verse 18, "Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered is to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. In verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of the demons. In 2 Corinthians 7, 1, it says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. In 2 Corinthians 4, 4, it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, in Nehemiah's time, in Nehemiah 1, Nehemiah rose to the high-ranking position of a cupbearer for King Xerxes. The position of the cupbearer placed Nehemiah's life on the line every day, yet gave Nehemiah authority. And Nehemiah was held in high esteem, most trusted by the king, by King Xerxes, because he granted his wish to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. And we all know what that took. Few individuals were given this position of chief cupbearer because you had to be someone that was unreachable by corruption against the king. Nehemiah 1 verse 11 in the last part says, for I was the king's cupbearer. In John 12, 26, it says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Jesus Christ came to serve us everlasting life through God's Holy Day plan. Christ said, follow me. Do we follow Christ's examples in all of our lives? And do we hold on to God's Holy Day plan? His commandments, learning great purpose from them for our lives. We are Jesus Christ's cupbearers till he returns if we are following, obeying, serving Jesus Christ and having a spiritual walk in this life unto God the Father, holding on to that spiritual rock, our cupbearer in the good times and the bad times. If you'll turn to Revelation 14, verse 13. And then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works. Follow them. Our works in life follows us. Are we cupbearers with Christ of the New Testament church now? Are we honoring and keeping God's truth alive in our lives as Jesus Christ has instructed us to keep them holy? In 1 John 1, chapter 2, verse 3, it says, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked. We are in Jesus Christ if we keep his commandments. A faithful cupbearer serves the king. In Hebrews 10, verse 11, Hebrews 10, verse 11 says, and every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. In verse 13, from that time, waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Jesus Christ is the perfect, trustworthy offering and our chief cupbearer from God. Are we being sanctified in life to God by how we live now? Are we living by every word of God? Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. Continuing in Hebrews 10, verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh," in verse 21, "having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." In verse 23, "let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching." What an awesome honor to be a cupbearer with Jesus Christ and his New Testament church today, to help exhort one another to keep the faith, to help exhort one another to live by God's commandments until he returns. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In Matthew 7:21, I'll reference that. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So Jesus Christ was not mincing any words there. Jesus Christ came to destroy any misconceptions of false worship to God. Jesus Christ came to eliminate religious poisons that were not in total harmony with loving God with all of our hearts and with all of our lives. Jesus Christ, as our cupbearer from God, purifies the true gospel of the coming kingdom of God by how he lived and taught with a specific holy day plan of action, clearing away all the false fluff of false religions, clearing away all the false worshiping of God the Father, clearing away all the half-truths and all the traditions of men, so we have the chance to worship God, to obey God, and to honor God in spirit and through his power and his glory. We sang about that today. Through God's power and his glory. In Matthew 11:27, it says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." If you'll turn to Luke 22, verse 28, it says, "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." We are to continue to faithfully follow Jesus Christ until he returns, being a cupbearer with Christ, now and forever. A cupbearer serves the king at his table in his kingdom. In Mark 14, verse 32, "Then he came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.'" In verse 33, "And he took Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch.'" In verse 35, "He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will.'" See, Jesus Christ is our cupbearer of the New Testament church for God the Father in humble obedience to God. And we are commanded in the New Testament scriptures to follow in his footsteps, his very footsteps. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 11. See, before his death, the night before he died, Jesus Christ our Lord said, "You are those who have continued with me in all trials. So now, listen, remember what you have seen through me and do as I have lived." In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Annually being reminded for the rest of our lives that we are cupbearers of God's truth till he comes. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." As we examine ourselves. See, Jesus Christ's blood is precious. Jesus Christ drinks from the cup for us. And he called his blood, and he carried his blood up to God, and he was accepted by God the Father. We are to be eating and drinking Jesus Christ's life forever, obeying and following our chief cupbearer, our Lord, in memory of his life. So do. We are to live as Christ taught his disciples to live, eating and drinking Jesus Christ's life till he returns. Jesus Christ shows us the way to walk with God the Father in total obedience, as I have read here. If you'll turn to Luke 22, verse 40. "When he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" Verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw. So you just throw a stone and not far away. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So it had to be pretty traumatic for Christ to do this, because an angel appealed to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. See, Jesus Christ knew he was going to be beaten. Jesus Christ knew he was going to have to give everything. His life, his blood, and he was going to have to drink from this cup for us. See, Christ was in extreme agony. Christ our King suffered a horrible death so the holy days could be fulfilled then. And in the future, as our chief cupbearer, the King of Kings of the New Testament church. How much of Jesus Christ's life is in our cup? That's a deep saying, something to really think hard about. How much of Jesus Christ's life is in our cup, our daily cup, of his New Testament church? Because of Jesus Christ sacrificing his life and drinking his cup for us, we enjoy direct access to God the Father now. This was powerfully, supernaturally demonstrated at the moment of Jesus Christ's death, when that big veil, that 150-foot long veil and that 75-foot wide veil, was ripped and torn in two from top to bottom. This was God's testimony to his people that we have access to God by the perfect, sinless blood of our chief cupbearer. See, a cupbearer serves the king. In Luke 22, verse 7, it says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed." See, Christ was keeping the Passover holy by drinking his cup by his death for us. See, a lot of people in mainstream Christianity, maybe you on the phone hookup in the internet, maybe you're still searching for the real God and the real Jesus Christ of this earth, looking through the scriptures, trying to see who you're willing to die for, whose cup you're really ready to drink from. See, most people in mainstream Christianity are not overwhelmed by God's holy day truth, like Queen Sheba. She was overwhelmed by the glamour of God's palace in King Solomon's day. Rebecca West wrote, "The trouble about mankind is twofold today. He cannot learn truth, which are too complicated, and he forgets truths, which are too simple, like keeping the seventh-day Sabbath holy." How sad that is. We are to promote God's glory in our life by how we live. Jesus Christ our chief cupbearer, promoted God the Father's glory by the way he lived and died, loving God, obeying God with total obedience. Are we living Romans 12, 1 and 2 with God in life now as his cupbearer of the New Testament church? Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Proving what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, a cupbearer serves the king. We will know by his truth. Jesus Christ's cup is full in God the Father. See, Jesus Christ is busy for us. His blood, his examples, his life as our king forever. See, his cup, his reward is guaranteed. We have the same privilege to be a special cupbearer with Jesus Christ in his New Testament church for God also. Are we willing? Are we ready to do some work? We'll remember the Sabbath day for 52 days, you know, this year. We got 52 weeks. Will we remember the Sabbath to keep it holy? Will we remember to keep God's 7 annual holy days this year? Are we ready to listen and obey and follow Jesus Christ, even if the world won't? A cupbearer serves the king. Who will we choose to serve in life? The Lord's table or the world's table? Our actions speak louder than words. Our actions speak louder than words. I've already read 1 Corinthians 10:21, but it says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. We need to be followers. We need to be servants. We need to be cupbearers of Jesus Christ now to receive everlasting life with Jesus Christ in the future. In 2 John 8, verse 9, 2 John 8, verse 2 John 1, 8 through 9, watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Being doers, not only hearers, is vital. James 1:22 tells us this. Matthew 7, verse 15 through 20 talks about, you will know them by their fruits. And it talks about being aware of false prophets, false poisons of the world, not of God. Matthew 26, verse 27. This is Jesus Christ, the chief cupbearer's blood of the new covenant. Not just anyone's blood, but God the Father's Son. Jesus said, this is my blood. In verse 27, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Jesus Christ was a doer of God's holy day plan, keeping God's holy days alive in his life in their fullness. Our mission in life is having our cup overflowing with our Lord's works of his glorious life within us. See, Jesus Christ shows us how to have courage, how to obey God in all things, as he commands us to walk. No matter what is happening around our lives and in our lives, even unto death. Living to have godly action within us like Christ. Learning to love God, to keep keeping his commandments within our lives. And to learn more about God's holy day plan each and every holy day. in season and out of season. A cupbearer of God today must have wisdom and strength and courage and be full of faith. Even in this crazy sin-filled world, because that can draw us down and be depressed. Praying and asking God for more of His Holy Spirit. Being humble and meek, obeying God's commands. Let's all of us, brethren, pray and thank God. Thank God for not giving up on us. Let's pray to our awesome, great, powerful God that He will open our minds so that we can have a deeper understanding of His fall Holy Day plan, especially the Day of Atonement that will be upon us very shortly. Let's pray that God will continue to give us more of His Holy Spirit, more faith, and more courage, and wisdom and strength to be one of His true cupbearers now for His New Testament church, and in the future, in His new kingdom coming to this earth, the New Jerusalem. Serving and obeying God with our whole hearts and minds and our whole lives. Serving with Jesus Christ our Lord, our chief cupbearer in spirit and in truth. Till He returns. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.